Hi, everybody. This is Matt Robinson on RadioEntrepreneurs.com, where we talk about the secrets to success in entrepreneurship. Feel free to join the conversation on the website, RadioEntrepreneurs.com, where you can also get our mobile app to keep it going when you're out of the office or wherever you may be. Our guest today is Lynn Damianos, who is a photographer and a new publisher. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Matt.
So you work in the area with the Fountain Street Group, which
Yes.
is a pretty major art entity in the area.
It is now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you been in since the ground floor, as it were?
No, but I moved into the studio building in downtown Framingham in 2000. And the first artist had been there since about 1996. There were four people. And so I've been there for 16 years, and we now have over 80 artists in the building. We are known as Fountain Street Studios.
And that seems to be one of the larger colonies in the region.
It is. Apparently, west of Boston, we're the largest group of artists under one roof.
All media?
All media.
And do you,
no loud music, though. We're not allowed to have bands.
Oh, okay.
But visual arts, mostly. Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of collaboration among the artists?
There is quite a bit. We have open studios a couple of times a year. Our next one is coming up November 13th, that weekend, the Saturday and Sunday. And we open our doors to the public. It's a free event. But we also have two of the artists, one who was the founder of Fountain Street Studio, Sherry Clinton. She and Marie Craig, who's a photographer, established a gallery that's now open 4 days a week on the ground level. And it's not just Fountain Street artists, but other artists in the community that have shows there.
So there are other photographers in the space?
Yes.
How does that work out in terms of, do you have different expertise, different fields of practice?
We do. We have we have a nature photographer. We have another photographer who does pretty much what I do. We are competitors, but we are colleagues, and I invited him to join us in our building, and we share some clients and help each other out when we need the help.
What are your specialties, and how did you come to them?
Well, my main specialty is architectural photography. I also photograph a lot of people. And there are artists in the building, so I photograph their artwork as well. I worked for my father as a kid. He's an architect. He wanted me to take over the family business. I'm not good at thinking in three dimensions. I'm good at two dimensions. So I decided that I could photograph his projects, and that would be a good thing. There weren't many women in the field of architectural photography back when I started, and it was a way for me to really stand out, and I knew a lot about it from working with my father.
So if the subject is a building, how the client relationship must be really, really important to developing your portfolio. How do you figure out what the client wants, whether it's the owner of the building or whoever it may be?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that an architect versus a contractor versus the owner of the building, they're going to look for different things. And after working for such a long time with my father's firm, you know what those differences are. But typically, I have a conversation with them. We might do a walkthrough, find out what's special about the project, and what kind of vantage points they're looking for, and they all might want something a little different. But one of my specialties is bringing those different parties together so that they can share in the photography, all save a little dough on the budget because they're combining the photography project together and making sure everyone gets what they need.
You also teach photography.
I do.
How does one teach photography? That's always a fascinating, because I've taken classes before, and it just, you know, you can teach the mechanics of the camera and the equipment, but how do you teach the eye? How do you teach the perspective?
That's a little more challenging. Some people just have a knack, and some have more of a challenge with that. So a lot of it is going on a field trip, for example, and working with people when they're actually photographing versus just standing there and talking about it. I think that's really a helpful thing. But when I was in college, actually, I was a teaching assistant for deaf and learning disabled students at RIT, where I went to school. And so for 2 years, I was a TA, and I really learned a lot helping people that really needed help in a great way. So it made it more obvious to me how to help people in general learn, because everyone has a different way of, assimilating that information.
So then recently, with your artist colony, you took your photography and went into publishing. From just the pictures to the words and the pictures and everything else involved with publishing. How did that transition come about?
That's an interesting story. I was actually at a professional photography meeting talking about personal projects, and I've always wanted to do a book, and I thought I would do a book about the technical aspects of photography, but I wanted to do something personal. So I stood up and said, I'm going to do a book about the building that my studio is in. And now that I've said that, I think I have to do it. And I decided to interview all the artists in the building with a story about each one of them, what they do in the building, and a story that they know about the building itself. And then also look for artifacts in the building, which is quite interesting. They made cars in the building, shoes, and apparel. And so I accumulated all of this together. Well, in the meantime, the Framingham History Center said, if you can get this book together in 4 months, we can combine this with a house tour and include your building on the tour. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But we did that in 4 months. And after that, I thought, this was challenging. There's a lot of details. And I went on to do a second book about the Saxonville Mills on the north side of Framingham, because the artist there said, well, you should do a story about our building. There's more buildings, there's more interest, it's an older set of buildings. So I did that, and then after that, I thought, you know, I can make this part of my business because there's so many people that have a great story to tell. And you can either do it yourself, you can try to go to a traditional publisher, but you need a literary agent. There's got to be something in between. So I worked out a deal with a local printer who is the second largest print-on-demand printer in the country, actually, and they're right in Massachusetts. Right. And we've established a great partnership to help people get their stories out there.
How do you balance the two parts of your life now?
It's easy because the publishing part can be done at any time of day or night. Typically, I meet with clients with their schedule and I kind of coach them along the way and help bring all the parts together. So it's not necessarily, it has to be a good weather day like with my photography. Right. It makes it a lot easier.
Right.
The other thing that's great about it is that a friend and colleague, Lisa Thompson, who is a graphic designer, is now sharing my space and she designs the books and she's there to assist with all the other aspects that I don't do.
Obviously your photography went into the books. How is the publishing influenced or educated your photography?
Well, I think that the photography has helped me educate myself with the publishing end because I already knew what you need for a good photograph to look great in publication. But I also realized that there's just so many little pieces, so many little deadlines, and you have to look ahead and then plan accordingly to make sure that all the pieces come together in a timely fashion. So it's really a lot about deadlines, about pieces, about lists, and I love lists.
What are some of your favorite spaces that you photographed?
As far as...
With your architectural work.
With the architectural work?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of cool little things that you would never think of, like little, in a health club facility, a little nook and cranny that's supposed to be a quiet space for people that can meditate, for example, things like that. Or a lot of these new high-tech companies and pharmaceutical companies have napping rooms or they have game rooms where they can take a break and they might have a beer tap in their cafeteria and things. And how to make it look cool. They might have a running track around the cafeteria and you want to show people using it. So there's a lot of new types of spaces out there. And it's kind of fun to be creative and look for a new way to get a great angle on something like that.
Sounds like there might be some book ideas in that as well.
Absolutely.
What about going back to the mechanics of photography? How have things like digital and the fact that phones are now sold for their cameras instead of for their ability to call people, how has that changed the field?
Dramatically. So I started out as a film photographer. That has basically gone by the wayside. Now digital has really improved. Everyone is a photographer. Everyone has a camera. Everyone has a phone. So what's happened is it makes it very easy to get into the profession. There's a lot of competition, and it's not expensive to get into it. So what that means is somebody who's been around, like me, has to find a way to differentiate ourselves and really stay close with our clients, show how we can really make a difference and how we can help them. It's really about service, I mean, because quality is expected by everybody.
Right, right. But it sounds like you really have a very creative eye, and like you said, you've been finding these nooks and crannies that other people might overlook and making whole pieces out of them.
That's the idea.
I always have to, in publishing and photography, I'm sure you always, every idea is a possible project. You just have to figure out which ones to
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the entrepreneurial way, right? Just following your ideas.
You always have to think ahead, right. Too. You can't sit around and wait for something to happen. It's always good. And I like to collaborate with a lot of other people and kind of do what I call cross-pollination. So I try to bring my authors in to have a book signing when we have open studios at the building. And at first, some of the artists thought, well, that's going to take away from people visiting our studios. But then they realized, oh, these are new people coming to the building that wouldn't have come. And it's really helping everybody with more visibility.
Right, right. Great. Well, thank you, Lynn Damianos. Always, it sounds like you have hands in a lot of interesting projects. But yeah, that's the entrepreneurial way. So we're really glad you could join us on Radio Entrepreneurs.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.